Morning, good morning, a good Erev Shabbos to everybody. Parshas Bahaloyscha. This is, I guess, our last Parsha Shir of the year before we wrap things up next week in Mitzvah Hashem. So we'd like to take this opportunity to discuss a very, very important, very central topic, a central avoido in our Avodas Hashem, and we will focus and base it in our parasha, the parasha of the Mon. Because in Parashas Bahaloyscha, Chal Yisrael complain about the Mon. It says that they had a taiva, they had a desire, they had a lust for more food, and they said, Zocharnu es hadogo. We remember in Mitzrayim we had fish, and we had kishurim, and we had avtichim, and everything in Mitzrayim was just wonderful. And now they said, we don't have any choice of food. Ein koil, there's nothing to eat. Bilti besides for el hamon. That was their complaint. In Mitzrayim, we had a whole big choice. We could eat onions, and we could eat watermelons, and we could eat fish, and in the Midbar, there's no choice. It's every single day the same food, mon and mon and more mon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very angered by this, says the Torah. And he sends them this bosor. You asked for meat, you asked for more fancy food, so you'll have more fancy food. And this was, of course, the slav. It was not just for a day, or 5, or 10, or 20. Rather, the Torah says, Ad chodesh yomim. It was for an entire month that they had this basar, the slav. And this, of course, was their oynish. So it's quite clear from the Torah HaKadosha that their complaint against the mon was unjustified. And that's why they were punished. And the reason why it was unjustified was because, to the contrary, mon was considered a great bracha, tremendous bracha. Every day, food sent min hashomayim. It's interesting, the poskim discuss what bracha did they make on mon. The poskim say hamoitzi lechem min hashomayim. Our lechem comes min haaretz. This was Hamoitzi Lechem Min HaShomayim, a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. It was definitely to be considered a bracha, and to complain about the bracha, but it clearly is a bracha. Mitzvah Hashem tonight, tomorrow Shabbos Kodesh, we have a Zeicha to the Mon, our Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. You wouldn't make a Zeicha out of something which wasn't important. Clearly this is important, and that was why they were considered to have been over an Avera. To complain about the Mon was really and essentially complaining about the Birkas Hashem. And the question that we're going to ask is a very simple question. As we've said many times, the simplest questions are sometimes the hardest to answer, and they're the most important ones. Why indeed was Mon considered a bracha? Why is that a bracha? It's a very strange type of bracha. You're going to get food for how long? Just for a few hours. No security, no feeling of calm that we have all the food that we need for the next few days or weeks. No. No food was allowed to be kept overnight, which means that every night you went to bed worrying and with no sense of certainty, are you going to have food for tomorrow? There was no such thing as going to your local supermarket, stocking up. Ah, Baruch Hashem, for a month I now know I have food at home. That's considered a bracha? The tension, the nerves, the concern, the worry, what's going to be tomorrow? We actually have a mefurash pasuk in the Torah that illustrates that this is not a bracha. To the contrary, it's a klala. Where do we see this? In Parashas Kisovei, where we have the Teichocha. 98 klolis, and one of the klolis is exactly that, where the Torah writes, "V'hoyu chayecho tnuim lecho." Your lives will be confused, hanging. Upochadto, you're going to be scared. Lailo v'yoimum. Day and night, you're going to be scared. What exactly are you scared about? What was this klala? So the Gemara tells us, and Rashi explains, you know what the klala was? That you're not going to have food for long-term storage. And that's what it means. There's this uncertainty. Upochadto, you're going to be scared. You won't know what's going to be next month, what's going to be next week, what's going to be tomorrow. So you see quite clearly that is considered a klala. And I think we all understand that's a klala. So is mon a brocha? Why is mon a brocha? We seem to have the exact same experience being described in Parshas Kisavo, and that's a klala. To not know what you're eating tomorrow. In other words, why, if we're allowed to ask this question, and we'll see in a second, the Gemara does ask it, so we are allowed. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed send mon every day? Why didn't he send mon at the beginning of the year that would last them for the whole year? That, I would have thought, is a bracha. You have in all your cupboards enough food to last you for a year. There's nothing to worry about tomorrow, day after, next week, next month, 2 months. That gives a feeling of security and of calm, and I would have thought that's a bracha. But no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the exact opposite. What does he do? You have no idea what's going to be tomorrow. Not only that, if you try to leave food for tomorrow, what happens to it? As we know, it all becomes infested. So there is no way that you can actually plan and have a strategy for food tomorrow. So what are you going to eat tomorrow? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends another nes, then you have food, and if not, then you're stuck. That's a bracha. Why is that a bracha? A second question, and this is along the same theme. If we go back to the beginning of the Torah Akdosha, the Nochosh gets a klala. What's the klala? It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'ofor toichal kol yamei chayecho. You, from now on, are going to eat earth. That's going to be your food. So now let's ask a reverse question. Why is that a klala? I would have thought to eat earth is a tremendous bracha. Why? Because wherever you go, you have food. So the nochosh is never, ever short of food. The nochosh never goes hungry. The nochosh is never concerned, what am I going to eat? Because his food is very simple and is very commonly found, i.e., it's offer. So we have a very basic question or questions to ask. It doesn't seem clear to us what is a bracha and what is a klala. We would have said perhaps that the nochosh got a tremendous bracha and Klal Yisrael in the midbar got a tremendous klala. The nochosh has security. He knows he has enough food to last him forever. I would have thought that's a bracha, but no, that's called a klala. And Klal Yisrael in the midbar, who don't know what they're going to eat tomorrow, I would have thought, that's a klala. No, that's a bracha. So this whole parasha seems very, very confusing, very difficult to understand. What is a bracha and what is a klala? And the answer is, and it's a mafurish gemara. We're going to try and explain this a little bit and see how it's relevant to our day-to-day avodas Hashem. The Gemara asks this question. You know who asked this question? The Gemara in Yuma tells us that the Talmidim of Rav Shimon ben Yochai asked him, Mipnei ma? Why loy yorad lohem li Yisrael mon pam achas b'shono? That was their question. So the Talmidim came to their great Rebbe Rav Shimon ben Yochai and said, why did mon have to fall every day? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu send mon once for the year? And obviously the oimik, the understanding behind this question is, as we've explained, because had he only sent it once a year, that would have calmed everybody. That would have given them security. That surely would have been classified, therefore, as a bracha. But to send mon every single day, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Answered Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Em shoel lochem moshel. I'll tell you a moshel. He says there was a melech, Bosor v'dom, a human king, and he had one son, and he was responsible in giving food for his son. So at the beginning of the year, he gave him a whole allotment of food that would last him for a year. V'loi hoyo makbil pnei ponov. So when would this son come and speak to his father? Elo pam achas b'shona. The son only came to visit his father once a year. Why? He's got no need to come more often. He has all his needs taken care of. So what did the melech do? He changed the arrangement. Posak mezainosav. From then on, he said, right, your mezainos is not coming once a year, it's coming once a day. And what happened then? Hayomakbil pnei aviv kol yayim. So now the son has to come to the palace every single day, because the king has decided that the new arrangement is a daily food ration. Nothing for tomorrow. What does that mean? That the son sees his father every single day. That's what the father wanted. That's the moshel. What's the nimshel? Af Yisrael. So to Klal Yisrael, says Rav Shimon ben Yochai, can you imagine a family? Mi sheyesh loy arba v'chamisha bonim. Lashna Gemara. Somebody has a big family, four children, five children. Hoyo doyeg. What does it mean, hoyo doyeg? He was worried. Va'oyma shemo, maybe, loy yeireid mon lemachar. He went to bed at night, thinking it's not just about me, I have a whole family to feed, I have four or five children. Maybe tomorrow there'll be no mon. Nimtzu. So what happened as a result? Kulom mechavnim es libom la'aviem shebashumayim. So everybody had no choice but to continuously turn to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and daven, please, 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 send mom for tomorrow. I have no financial security. I have no food at home. I have a whole family to feed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately did not send mom once a year. Because like in the Moshul, then Klal Yisrael would have no reason to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, we're just fine. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends mom every single day. So every family, husband, wife, children, what are they going to eat tomorrow? Nimtzu, the result, the inevitable result is Kulom mechavnim es libom la'aviyem shabashumayim. So the Gemara is teaching us a tremendous yesod, Rabbi Yisai. Do you know what's a bracha? A bracha is to have an ongoing relationship with your father. That's a bracha. And had HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them on once a year, that would have given them financial security, but that's not a bracha, because then you have no kesher with your father. There's a Rav here in Eretz Yisrael, originally from the United States of America, Rav Zev Lev. Heard of Rav Zev Lev?
Yes.
He lives in Moshav Matityahu, which is right next to Kiryat Sefer. So I once heard him say the following story. It's a frightening story, but it brings out this point. He says that a young man came to speak to him. And he said to Rav Lev, he said, Harav, you need to help me. I'm in a terrible, terrible situation. I'm in a terrible depression. And it's got to such serious levels that Chas v'Shalom, I've had suicidal thoughts. You have to help me. What happened? How did you get into this? How did this begin? So he told Rav Lev, he said, I'll tell you what happened. He says, unfortunately, my mother passed away a number of years ago. And I'd been at home for a number of years, me and my father, we had a tremendous relationship. Just me and my father, caring, loving, dedicated father. One day, my father calls me in, and he says to me, listen, my dear son, I need to have a very open conversation with you. There's good news and bad news. The good news is that Baruch Hashem, I have found a new Esh Eschayil, I'm soon to be engaged and married. And amidst Hashem, I'm looking forward to rebuild and re-begin my life. The bad news is, he said, I have to be honest with you, my new wife has requested, so as not to complicate our relationship, there must be nobody else at home, so you're going to have to leave home. Because if you're in the house, it's just too invasive, so you're going to have to live elsewhere. And to be honest, I'm going to have to request, don't call me or stop by, it'll just make things too tense. But he said, don't worry, I'm not just throwing you into the street. He gave him an envelope filled with tens of thousands of dollars. Hey, you have enough money to keep you going for a while. Not only that, he takes out of his pocket, he says, here, car keys, the car parked in the front drive is now yours. And thirdly, he takes out of a different pocket, here, here's my credit card. You have free spending on my card. Don't ask, you don't need to ask, and to be honest, I prefer if you don't ask. Just swipe the card, buy whatever, whenever, however, whatever you want. But please, this is, I have to ask you, don't call me or be in touch with me because it'll just complicate my whole relationship. So he tells Rav Lef in the beginning, he thought, okay, it's a shame, but wow, this is too good to be true. Envelope full of money, car keys, unlimited spending on the credit cards. So he said, fine, so I went spending. And I bought clothes and I bought an apartment, I bought a vacation, I bought whatever. The whole world I can now buy. And he said, all of a sudden, one day, I go into a store on my next shopping trip. I swipe the card, and suddenly I have this awful feeling that one second I'm swiping the card. I have unlimited usage of the card, but isn't this a reminder that my father doesn't want a relationship with me? And the next time I swipe the card, again I have this feeling. And the next time, again, and this began gnawing at me again and again. You have unlimited spending on the credit card, but that means you have no relationship with your father. Your father doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't allow you to talk to him. And eventually this feeling completely consumed me. And I stopped using the credit card. I couldn't do it anymore. I can't! And I've slipped into this depression and I'm in a terrible situation. Rav Lef has a tremendous sense of humor. He says, okay, I'm here to help. You know what? Give me the credit card. Fine. What was the issue? If you want to have a credit card from your father, unlimited spending, but don't call me, then that's not a bracha. The Nochash got HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card. You can have offer whenever you like, wherever you like, however much you like. But one thing is for sure, the Nochash never needs to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask for food. Why? Because he has food. So he has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card. What do Klal Yisrael have in the Midbar? They don't have Klal, they don't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card. They have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoim Yoim, Lailo Lailo. That's a bracha. We asked before, what's a bracha and what's a klala? If you have no financial security, isn't that a klala? No, it's not, because you have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means you have a relationship. In the Teichacha in Parshas Kisavei, what's being discussed there? Who's being discussed? Not people who are tzaddikim. People who have gone off the derech, that's why their subjects is Teichacha, they don't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what your klala is? You won't know what you're eating tomorrow. That's a klala because you're not going to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael Kedoshim, the Doyer Deya, the Doyer of Mekablei HaTorah, every night, four or five children, I have a whole family to feed, and they're thinking to themselves, so I need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the next night the same thing, and the night after once again. And that way they have an ongoing kesher with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That is the ultimate bracha. But the Nochash, he has a credit card. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can swipe the card whenever you want, and you can have as much offer as you want, but one thing is for sure. Don't turn to me, you have no need to turn to me. In other words, we have no relationship. That is the ultimate clause. Do you remember in Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu is working hard for Lavan, and Lavan says to him, the pasuk, "Vayomer nokva schorcho olai ve'eteno." You know what? What's your wages? What is your fee? You determine for me how much you want to be paid. Says Lavan, and I'm prepared to pay you. Says Yaakov, "Vayomer Yaakov." Loi titen li mu'uma. Don't give me anything at all. What does that mean? He didn't want a wage. He didn't want a schar. Yaakov Avinu has a family to feed. There's a pirush al haTorah, one of the great Rishonim, the Radak. You know what the Radak says on that pasuk? A phenomenal pirush. Says the Radak, do you know what Yaakov Avinu was really telling him? Lavan, I don't want a fixed wage from you. Rather, I want it to come directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that way I turn to him, and that way I have a relationship with him. This is the exact point that we're discussing. So now we see clearly the difference between Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And the Nochosh is, one has the credit card and one has a relationship. The Nochosh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card, there is no kesher. Says Yaakov Avinu, I don't want a credit card. I don't want a fixed wage month to month, because then I have no kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the Mon, the great bracha of the Mon, was the constant experience of Va'ani kirvas Elohim li toiv. I'm karev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. The whole time. The Nochosh never experiences that. He has no kirvas Elohim. He has no relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has no need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card. There is no kesher there whatsoever. I saw Halacha Ulamaisa this week. One of the Poiske Adoyer, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, Sheyarech Yomim B'Shonim, son-in-law of Rabbi Yashiv Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. Somebody came to him to ask him a Shaila Alocha Lamaisa. I have a choice of two different jobs that I could take up. One of them is to be an employee in a company and get a fixed monthly wage. The other alternative is to open a business of my own and then I'm not dependent on anybody. But it's then totally unpredictable. I don't get a fixed monthly wage. And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein quoted the Radak that we just mentioned with Yaakov Avinu and told him, open your own business. Because if you're relying on your boss's paycheck every single month, then you're less inclined to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Comes the first of the month, guarantee check. Open your own store and you have no idea whether you're going to have merchandise, you're going to have clients. What's your store going to look like? You have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have a kesher with Ribbono Shel Olam. One of the great tzaddikim 200 years ago, the Megale Amukos. The Megale Amukos was the Rav in a town, famous city in Poland called Warsaw. Varsha. And for whatever reason, he made a decision against the wishes of his community. He's leaving Varsha. His kehillah were very upset. They're losing their beloved Rav, Godel HaDor, the Megale Amukos. But he said, my decision's been made, the plans are in place, I'm leaving. And at the last minute, his plans changed. And he said, I've decided, after all, I'm staying here. What happened? Why did you suddenly change your mind? So he said, I'll tell you why. Because there's a Talmud Chacham here in Varsha who didn't have much money and he has a family. So what did he do? He bakes cakes. He bakes cakes as like a little home bakery and sold those cakes, and that was his parnasa. That was his parnasa. And not a big parnasa, but he managed on that. There was a very wealthy individual here in Krakow, in Warsaw. Sorry, I said Warsaw, I meant Krakow, sorry, in Krakow. And here in Krakow, a big gvir said to him, do you know, I'm willing to sign with you a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Tell me, he said, how much do you earn in a good month from your cake selling? So he told him, whatever the currency was, 5 of these coins a month. So this gvir in Krakow said, fine, I'm willing to give you 6 every single month, and you can learn now b'menucha, Yisachar Zvulun relationship. After a while, this Talmud Chochem comes to the Megale Amukais and he asks him, Shaila, I want to be mevatel my whole arrangement of Yisachar Zvulun. He came to ask Shaila, am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to backtrack? Why would you want to be mevatel it? So he said, I'll be very honest, said this Talmud Chochem, in the past, I was at home, literally in the kitchen, kneading the dough, and as I'm kneading the dough, I'm davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I hope it should all rise properly. And then I would put it in the oven, and I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I hope the cakes come out not too stale, and not too dry, and not too liquidy. And then when they came out well, I davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, I hope I should find clients soon, otherwise the bread will become old. And he says, but now that I've signed this Yisachar Zvulun partnership, so I'm not involved in my cake selling anymore, I'm just feeling that I don't have that same relationship anymore with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have no need to daven to him on a daily basis. And therefore I'd like to be mevatel the whole shutfus. And the Megale Amukis was so moved by this, he said, if that's what Krakow is all about, I'm staying. I'm staying. That a Yid over here is willing to give up financial security. Why? Because he doesn't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card. He doesn't want to live like the Nochosh. He wants to live a life of mon, where you have to beg and turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day, please help me with the dough, and with the oven, and with the cakes, and with the clients. And that way, I have a kesher. Tmidi, daily, constant relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Can you imagine? Imagine if at the end of this year you go back home, it's Hashem, Zivug, Hogoyim, B'Shar Tevu, Mutzlachas, and you think to yourselves, you know, we had such a wonderful year, Ni'imas, Yerushalayim, HaKodesh, how about beginning our married life in Eretz Yisrael? What an idea. Okay, so you want to do your inquiries, what's it like? So obviously, the first thought that comes to your mind is, surely we're going to move to Bet Shemesh. What could be a better place than Bet Shemesh? Why would you have any other thought? So you call me from the United States of America and you say, okay, Rabbi Jalofsky, we're thinking of moving to Bet Shemesh. To be perfectly honest, we actually are planning, we've just bought an apartment in Bet Shemesh, next door you. So tell me, what's it like in Bet Shemesh? So imagine if I'll tell you, you bought an apartment in Bet Shemesh, what you've like signed, you've paid, yeah, it's a done deal. And I'll say to you, really, it's the worst place in the world. The neighbors are terrible. The weather is hot. It's not a clean place. Why would you want to be in Bet Shemesh? I think you'd all be very surprised. What do you mean? But we're coming. I already signed on the dotted line. We've bought an apartment. Why are you telling me how bad this place is? Tell me all the tremendous milas of Bet Shemesh. Tell me about the tremendous Kehillos HaKodesh and the yeshivas and the Lindei Torah and it's a mokum of shteig. Why are you telling me how bad this place is? Why would you do that? Do you know who does that? It would seem HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodei u'b'atzmei. This moshel that I just described to you sounds maybe comical. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Where is it a pasuk in the Torah? In Parashas Akef, towards the end of the Torah. Klal Yisrael are now at the end of their 40 years in the Midbar, and they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. It's a done deal. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to them? It's a pasuk in Parashas Ekev, Perek Yud Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki ha'aretz asher atah bo shama l'rishta. The land that you're now coming to, you should know, is loy ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Is not like Mitzrayim. Okay, that sounds good. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you know what I mean, it's not like Mitzrayim? Because in Mitzrayim, you always had water. You had the Nile. But here you don't. Because in this land, Eretz Horim, Ubekois, it's very mountainous, rocky land. There's no rivers, the Nile. So where are you going to get your waterfall from? Lematar Hashomayim Tishtemoyim. You're going to have to rely on it coming from heaven. One second. HaKadosh Baruch, we're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. We're all very excited. Why are you telling us how bad Eretz Yisrael is? Mitzrayim was this wonderful place. You have a constant water supply of the Nile. Come to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, like Eretz Mitzrayim. Wouldn't you expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell Klal Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful place. Eretz Zobas Cholov Udvash. No! It's not like Mitzrayim. You know, there's no water supply in Eretz Yisrael. Why are you telling us that? And what's the answer? The answer is the next pasuk. What's the very next pasuk? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Natirak Doisho. Because Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doiresh Oisa Tomid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Doiresh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over. Einei Hashem Elokecha, says the Pasuk, when? Meireshis Hashana Ad Achris Shana, from beginning to the end of the year. That's the answer. You want to live in Mitzrayim, have a constant water supply? Do you know what they got in Mitzrayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card. Same thing. Nobody in Mitzrayim ever needs to daven for Parnasa. Nobody needs to daven for rainfall. Nobody needs to daven for water. Why? Because they have it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not here to criticize and point out the chesroinus of Eretz Yisrael. To the contrary, I'm pointing out the milers. Do you realize you're entering a land where Einei Hashem Elokecha Bo Tomid Mereishis Hashana Ad Achris Shana, there's a constant Hashkocha. You live with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam the whole time. That's the greatest bracha. You want to have the credit card? You want to live in Mitzrayim like the Nochosh? B'vakasha, that's not a bracha. That's a klala. That's a klala. So we're understanding today, Rabbi Yisai, what is the difference between a bracha and a klala? There is no bracha like a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to live like the Nochosh? You want to live like Mitzrayim, where you have Ofar non-stop, you have Mayim non-stop. You can have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card, but then you have no reason ever to turn to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Or you want to live like Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. You want to live like Yaakov Avinu, who says, I don't want a fixed wage. You want to live like the Yid in Krakow, who says, I'd rather bake cakes because it means I need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a bracha of Kirvas Elokim. I feel that constant kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where do we find for the first time in the Torah the musag of a bracha? Who benched for the first time? Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to his son. It's the first time we find it, the issue of a bracha, the musag of a bracha. And what's the very first word of the bracha? Ve'yitein lecha ho'elikim. Now, I remember when I was in school, we learnt in English lessons that you can't start a sentence with the word and. No, this is what they taught you in America as well. You learn American, but we learn English. You can't start a sentence with the word and. But one second, didn't Yitzchak Avinu do just that? Ve'yitein lecha and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean and? And in addition to what? This is the beginning of the brachas. So do you know what Rashi says? Three words. Quoting a Chazal. Ve'yitein lecha means, says Rashi, yitein ve'yachzor ve'yitein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give. and he should give, and he should give, and he should give. That's what it means, v'yitain, and. It should always be continuous. Do you know what the oimik of that Rashi is? Do we understand what Rashi is now really saying? What do you mean, v'yitain, v'yachsir, v'yitain? Who in the world cares how HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers his bracha? Let him shower Yaakov Avinu with brachas enough to last him for 10,000 years. No, because that's not a bracha. Then you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's credit card again. The bracha is that it's Yitain v'yachzor v'yitain. Then you have that constant kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. Like that father, the king in the palace. I just want to have a kesher with my children. So I'm not going to give them my credit card. And this, of course, is so incredibly central in our Avodas Hashem. Where is this manifest? Obviously, with the Avodah of Tefillah. The Avodah of Tefillah is our experience of the Mon. That's the gift of Tefillah. Because there is a very famous question, and this question is posed by the Mabit. The Mabit lived about 500 years ago here in Eretz Yisrael at the same time in Tzfas as the Beis Yosef. And the Mabit asks such an obvious question. And he says in his words, Dovor kosher be'inyan tefillah. There seems to be something very, very difficult to understand when it comes to tefillah. Do you know what that is? He says, imagine if you needed help from a king. You're in a terrible mess, difficult situation. So you make your way to the palace first thing in the morning. Your Royal Highness, Your Majesty, only you can help me. I'm in a terrible situation, financial debt. Maybe you can help me with $100,000 gift. Okay? A few hours later, lunchtime. This fellow comes back, knocks on the palace. In he walks. The king says, oh, it's you again? He says, yes, Your Royal Highness, you know, I'm in a terrible financial situation. Maybe you can give me a gift of $100,000. You told me this morning. And guess what? He comes back that evening, knocks on the palace once again, and says to the king, you know, I'm in a terrible financial... Why you ask me again and again and again? Says to my bitch, you know what will happen eventually? The king won't let him in. You're driving me crazy. You don't think I get it? You told me this is your request. Okay, I need to think about it. I need to arrange it. No, you have to come back again and come back again. Says the Mabit, but that's what we do in Tefillah. Why do we drive HaKadosh Baruch Hu crazy? We've submitted our request. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need us to submit it again and again? You don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu got it first time? Colossal kasha. We have to daven in the morning, and then again lunchtime, and then again, all over again, every single day of our lives. And what's the answer, says the Mabit? The question is a mistake. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need us to knock on his door so often? What's the answer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need it. We need it. We need it. We need that constant reminder that everything is coming from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and I have that kesher with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. In the beautiful words of the Kuzari, four words which you have to remember forever. The Kuzari says about tefillah, he says, tefillah lanefesh is kemozoin laguf. Tefillah for the soul is like food for the guf. In the same way as we all had breakfast this morning, and yet later on, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have lunch, and then tonight we'll have another Suda. But why do you need to eat? You had breakfast this morning. It's true, but the effects of that meal have now worn off, so I need to now re-energize. Seder, but then why again in the evening? Same things happened again, and tomorrow morning. Tefillah la nefesh is kemozayin laguf. It's no coincidence. We eat how many times a day? Three times. And how many tefillahs? Three times. Because the world, the Olam HaGashmi, is a moshel to the Olam HaRuchni. If you need to inject your guf with physical food 3 times a day, then so too your neshama also needs that spiritual food, that spiritual ruchni injection, that reminder time and time again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need it. We need it. Have any of you ever davened with Karolina Hasidim? What's very unique about the way Karolin daven? They daven very loudly. If you ever come in, be prepared. You might be surprised. Comes to Pesukah Dezumah, screaming their heads off. That's the way they daven. That's the way Avraham Avinu is. So the story is told that a Karolin Chassid once came to the town of Brisk, and he moved into the community, and he davened in the shul of the Briskerov, and all the Brisker Mispalim were totally flabbergasted, this Pince Karolin Chassid screaming his tefillah. They'd never seen anything like it. It was so disturbing to them. So they came to the Brisker Rav, Rabbeinu, you have to deal with this. He's a mashugana, shrying his head off every day. Mosh disturbs the whole tefillah. You're the Rav, you have to sort this out. Brisker Rav says, leave it to me. Brisker Rav comes to this Karolin Chassid, my dear friend, he says, you know, every so often I go on walks for health reasons, maybe you want to accompany me, you want to join me, walk together. S'chus, to walk together the Brisker Rav, Yashakoya. So they go on their first walk together, and they're schmoozing about this, about that. And all of a sudden, the Brisker Rav turns around to this Karolin Chassid and yells at him, so how are you? Such a shock. He says, yeah, I'm fine, Baruch Hashem. So what's the news? Everything's fine. Why is the Brisker Rav screaming at me? I don't get it. I'm standing right next to the Brisker Rav. I can hear even if you don't scream. Says the Brisker Rav, you can hear even if I don't scream because you're standing right next to me. So tell me, so why do you scream in tefillah? Kodesh Baruch Hu can hear you even if you don't scream. But you know the Karolin Chassid answered, he got the last word. He said, Harav, do you know why I'm screaming in tefillah? Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear me, but I can hear myself. I need the chizuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our tefillahs. Why do we come knocking on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door 3 times a day? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't understand without it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows far better than us what we need. We need the chizuk. Tefillah la nefesh kemozin la guf. And therefore, in conclusion, and as mentioned, if this is the last shir of the year, then I think this is an appropriate place to finish. The avodah of tefillah is not just in Shemoneh Esrei. One can maximize one's time, and even more importantly, strengthen one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we get into the habit of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're walking down the street. When you're washing up the dishes. Oh, but I can't wash up the dishes and then balance a siddur. You don't need a siddur. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How often do we walk through the street, and what do? We daydream. We look here, we look there. Shame. You go on a 3-minute walk, what about for 30 seconds, talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm walking in the street. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the ability to walk. Not everybody can walk. The great Rav Shimshon Pinkus is a godly Yisrael. Maybe this sounds childish. It's not childish at all. He said, when I go to the makolet, I once heard him say in a shir, when I go to the local makolet and I need to buy a few cucumbers, I always stop at the door to the store. For 3 seconds, and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me find the cucumbers. Is that a dover kotein? No, that's a meisa godel. That's why he was a godel bistrol, because he has a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. Why? It's not shachris now. It's not mincha. Sometimes it's precisely those tefillahs which are not specifically at Shachris, Mincha, or Maariv time that are the biggest chizuk. Those spontaneous tefillahs, you know, you've lost something. So instead of going crazy and looking for segulos, stop. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I've lost something very important. Please help me find it. If you get used and you get into a habit like that, then what are you announcing? I don't want a credit card relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to feel forever connected. I can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 24/7. I'll never forget. I had the zechus of doing shimush with my great Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Zalman, Ulman Zechet Tzadik Livrocha. And I used to ask him, thousands of shaivas that I asked him, and I once went to his home in Bnei Brak and asked him about 50 or 60 different shaylas on a particular topic of Tevilas Kelim. And I wrote down all the psakim on a piece of paper, very important piece of paper to me. I moved apartment from where I used to live in Ramat Beshemesh Aleph to Ramat Beshemesh Gimel, and I'm now preparing a shir on the subject of Tevilas Kelim. I thought, one second, I asked my great Rebbe, I have a whole list of very important psakim there. Now, where did I put that piece of paper? Obviously, I must have put it in my sefer on Tevilas Kelim. I open it up, it's not there. I've got another sefer on Tevilas Kelim, it's not there anyway. Not there. And I was very, very upset. I guess somewhere, somehow in the move, this piece of paper has become lost. I haven't got no clue where to look for it. It's not in the sforim that it's obviously going to be in, so it's gone. And I had to prepare this shir. And I'll never forget, I'm literally standing in front of my sforim shelves in my room at home, and I just stopped. I thought, what's the point of looking for it? It could be anywhere or lost. And I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I went all the way to Bnei Brak to discuss with one of the Gedolei Yisrael these important shailas. Please, please, all these psakim are written on a piece of paper. Please help me find the piece of paper. I didn't actually finish the sentence when I see a piece of paper sticking out between two completely different svarim, and there it was. So what is the purpose of that story? So you see that whenever you daven, you get exactly what you need when you... No! Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides it's the best to answer you straight away, sometimes at a later date. But that wasn't at a time of Shachris, Mincha, or Maariv, but we can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. I remember during Corona, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the whole world upside down. And I told my children around the Friday night table, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calling out to us. You see who's in charge. You see who's running the world. Have a relationship with me. Talk to me. Talk to me. And I said to my kinderlach, you know, you can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. Not just from a siddur and not just in shul. Even when you're in the street, you can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why not? And one of my daughters says to me, she says, you know, I'm so excited about Corona. You're excited? You're the only person on planet Earth who's excited about Corona. Why are you excited? And she says, because I'll tell you the truth, I love speaking to Hashem, and I would like to speak to him in the streets as often as I can, but it's embarrassing. If you walk in the street, you start talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people think you're crazy. But she said, Baruch Hashem, we're all wearing masks now, so nobody can see. So it's not embarrassing, so I can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to my heart's content. There's nothing embarrassing about talking to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. When you're in the street, when you're washing up the kelim, when you're getting dressed, when you're busy with your kids in Mitzvah Hashem, whenever it may be. And the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, there might well be a time, Bekarev, that you'll be busy with your families and you might not have time in a formalized way to open a siddur and daven a whole shachris and mincha. We're not paskening shailas now. But that may well be the Metzias. But then we have to decide, don't we want the mon Eretz Yisrael relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We can all develop that, and it's not a difficult avodah. But it doesn't necessarily start, as we explained, by having more kavona in Shmoina Esra, which is terrifically important. It may well start in, let's get into that habit of just talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a few seconds here, a few seconds there, nothing embarrassing. Next time we walk into the street, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu you're able to walk. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu you can see. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, just give me the siyata d'shmaya that I should find what I'm looking for in the store. I should do well in my test. That my trip back to the United States should be over b'shalom, etc., etc., etc. When we get used to living a life of that, and you feel, v'ani kirvas elekim li toiv, I don't want to have a credit card, Mitzrayim Nile type relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to feel that I can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any moment. I want to feel that the Eine Hashem Aleikech HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding by showering me with that ongoing kiss and a hug from Shemayim the whole time. If we're zoicha to that, then we've truly learned the lesson of the mom, which is one of the biggest sages in today's parasha.